Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start my sermon on a somewhat playful note this morning. Do you remember when you were a child and felt it unfair when a sibling got more presents than you did for Christmas? Or how about as a student, a time you were jealous of a friend who might have gotten better grades or was more athletic? Or as an adult, resentful of someone who got a promotion you felt you deserved? Now, I'm aware I'm in Linville, and so again, somewhat playfully, I will ask another question. Might you be annoyed sometime about someone with a lower handicap than you? Those feelings of envy or jealousy are a normal part of the universal human condition. We've all had them at one time or another. They even show up in the biblical characters mentioned in the gospel, a passage called the Parable of the Laborers. A landowner at different times of the day hires workers to toil in his fields. He ends up paying everyone the same wage, regardless of how long they work. But the laborers grumble with, I love that. Hearing grumble in the Bible, isn't that great? Makes it feel like it was written today. But the laborers grumble with resentment and envy, feeling a sense of unfair treatment by the master, because those who worked fewer hours got the same pay as those who worked all day. Now, the interpretation of this Bible is straightforward. God is the generous master who equally rewards all of us as workers with his promise of salvation, regardless of the length of our faithfulness. Ultimately, this is a reminder that God is a just God, and that's the good news from the gospel. And I could end right there with an amen. But what about those grumbling workers exhibiting traits of envy and impatience and jealousy, seemingly that go unresolved in this parable? As Christians, what do we do to resolve our feelings of envy or jealousy that occur at times in our relationships? After all, our day-to-day reality is not a parable. Last week, there was an article in the New York Times whose heading caught my attention. It was entitled, Rosh Hashanah Can Change Your Life Even If You Are Not Jewish. Rosh Hashanah Can Change Your Life Even If You Are Not Jewish. I read it with great curiosity. Rosh Hashanah, a 10-day Jewish holiday, began on September 15th and actually ends this evening with the arrival of Yom Kippur. During this time period, which is commonly referred to as the Jewish New Year, Jews are called to celebrate God's blessings and, at the same time, to contemplate their own mortality. They are called to celebrate God's blessings and at the same time contemplate their own mortality. This sounds paradoxical, if not downright morbid, but in reality, it seems a valuable process to deepen our own connection with what and how we value life. The author notes, and I quote, "This focus on death might seem misplaced, bringing gloom to the party. Yet contemplating death helps people make decisions about their future that brings them greater happiness." Research has shown that as we age, we move from focusing on our careers and social status and collecting material possessions to caring more about connecting with those we love, finding meaning in life's little moment. The blessing of becoming more aware of the approaching of the sunset of our life is becoming more intentional about how we spend our time in the present. According to the teachings of Rosh Hashanah, the key element to this transition is adopting an attitude of gratitude for the here and now. A healthy acceptance of our mortality as reality is the prelude to such an attitude. Let me say that again. A healthy acceptance of our mortality as reality is the prelude to such an attitude. The benefits of this outlook are not only spiritual, but emotional as well. Those who lead a life rooted in appreciation sleep better, have lower stress levels, and overall a greater sense of well-being. Let me offer a minor specific example, and it's sort of playful as well. Think of the frustration you feel when caught in a traffic jam. And that is when I do my best grumbling. But if I try to turn my attention to what is around me that would have gone unnoticed, like a scenic view on the highway or an interesting piece of architecture on a side street, that initial frustration evaporates into gratitude for reframing that moment in time. And it's not just helpful for little things. In times of turmoil and chaos, gratitude helps to steady and ground us. It brings a perspective and encourages us to see God at work in our mindset. Rabbi Herod Kirshner, who you know is a well-known Jewish author, wrote, "Can you see the holiness in those things that you take for granted? A paved road, or a washing machine. If you concentrate on finding what is good in every situation, you will discover that your life will suddenly be filled with gratitude, a feeling that nurtures the soul." If we focus on developing that habit of naming the holy in our world and in each other, those negative emotions of envy and impatience and jealousy have no room to exist in our soul. Being mindful of our mortality, that this moment in time, right now, at 11:22, in worship at All Saints in Linville, North Carolina, will be yet a memory in an hour or a day or a month or next year. So let's not waste it. Let's be all in with gratitude and let go with the grumbling. I want to end with one of my favorite poems by Mary Oliver. It's a beautiful reflection of the essential message of Rosh Hashanah flavored with Christianity. It's called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. And now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is, but I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.
Amen. Amen.